Wow. How can you, or how can I this morning do justice in sharing about Jesus? You need all day. You need a week to go through moment by moment. But today, here we are. Good Friday. Yeah? I reckon this is a terrible Friday. I reckon for Jesus it was a terrible Friday. Now just hear me out, will you? Can you please put my message up there, please? Not good Friday, terrible Friday. Terrible Friday. Very good. So, this weekend, about 2.4 billion people will celebrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This event, 2022 years ago, was a massive, epic event that split history in two. Now, when you sign a date, the reference point is from where Jesus Christ rose from the dead 2022 years ago. So how terrible this was for Jesus Christ. I'm just going to touch on a couple of things. I can't touch on everything, but I'm just going to touch on a couple of things. Now, Jesus, he's at the Garden of Gethsemane. This is before he's taken to the chief rabbis, the chief priests, and he says to his disciples, "Let's pray." And Jesus is about a stone throw away from them. They all fall asleep. That would have been me. I would have fallen asleep too. And Jesus goes away and he's spending time with God. And he says to his heavenly Father, he says to God, he says, "God, I know what's before me. If it's possible, can this cup, this suffering that I'm about to go through, can you let this pass from me?" In other words, is there another way, God? And he cries out, "Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." And Jesus, the soldiers come, they get him, they bring him before the chief rabbis, the priests, and Herod, and eventually he's condemned to death. Even Herod and Pontius said, "I find no guilt in this man. He's innocent." We find that there's no crime that has been done. And so they take him away to get whipped. And this is just not a whipping of 10 beatings. Can you show me the picture of the whip, please, guys? Now, two soldiers, two lots of these. Historically, they say that it was whipped 39 times, tied with his hands like this, on the back, sideways, hitting him on the face. Then they would untie one of his hands, maybe after the 20th whip, I don't know. He'd have one hand up here, and he's on his back, whipping him on his front, on his face. Now, in the movie, The Passion of the Christ, I saw an interview with the man that played Jesus Christ. He said, "We had done this by the book. We had done this by the book." He says there was only one thing that we didn't quite do by the book, and that was his face. He said we wanted to show some of his face so that people could just see and understand the anguish and the pain. In the book of Isaiah, which is way before Jesus came, hundreds of years before, it's prophesied of the Son of God coming. And when he comes, he'll change the world, he'll redeem, he'll reconcile. But something else it says about him, that you would not recognize him as far as the cross, that his face would be disfigured. Horrific. You would not recognize him. This is Jesus Christ. This is the Son of God. Man, come on. That whip, what you see on the ends there, is lead. And that will tear flesh off you. It will tear flesh off his body. Then they put a crown of thorns upon his head. More pain, more gruesome. They nail him to the cross. There's a hole, and they drop him into the hole. Imagine the big thump, and he's having to stand, because what happens is your body drops and you can't breathe. So each time you breathe, you've got to push yourself up to survive. Then he gets pierced with a spear, and blood and water gush out. Now we see these beautiful crucifixions around, and they've prettied that up. You see a few scars, you see some. But this is the reality of what Jesus Christ had done for us to pay the penalty for our sin. I'll touch on that a little bit later. Why do this? In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says this. It says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, the disgrace that was brought upon him. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So yes, it is a Good Friday. Okay, there is hope. There is light. It is a Good Friday. It's an amazing Friday. It is beautiful what Jesus has done for us. I kind of think of, what have you been through? What have you endured? And there's joy at the other end. I think of all the mums who have given birth to babies. My daughter-in-law has just given birth to my first grandchild. I hope I'm allowed to say this. I hope she won't listen to this. But she gave birth. It was tough. It was hard. My wife has given birth to three. It was really hard. She got to a point where I can't do this anymore. And the doctor, being so gracious, come on, you can do this. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Come on, you can get this over the line. And she gathered all her strength, everything she could. One, two, three. Yes. The baby pops out. She thought, honestly, she had no strength left. She thought she was gone. The head pops out, the shoulder's out. The doctor says, Jordan, who is my son, come out here and take the baby out. So my son pulls the baby out. And Charisse is holding her child. All the pain, all of it is, gee, it was worth it. Going through all that pain, it was worth having this beautiful little child. All you mums out there, you are amazing. That's the closest illustration, I think, that I can give for someone going through something and the joy after. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, the disgrace that it brought upon him. He saw you, each and every one of you, coming into his kingdom. 2.4 billion people today, this weekend, celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, there's many people that have tried to claim and be God. Jesus says he is God. He said he is the Son of God. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, even though he dies, will live. There is a promise of eternity. And it is very, very real. My daughter goes to this church in the UK at Chorleywood, and he's called a canon, and his name is Mr. J. John. And he runs this segment called Facing the Canon, and he's interviewing this woman. And this woman talks about in her younger days when she was sick, dying on her deathbed. She was married, had kids. And she died. She saw herself leave her body. And she entered to heaven. And Jesus is before her. Jesus is there to welcome her. And he says to her, if you'd like to come in, you can come in. But if you want to go back, you can go back. One thing she did say was this. She said the colours that she saw, the colours were just beautiful. She thought of her children and her husband, and she came back. She remembers going back into her body, the doctors resuscitating. And today, she's over 80 years of age. She's over 80 years of age, and she now has lung cancer. She doesn't know how she got it. She goes, I don't know how I got this. But she goes, you know what? I have this conviction that it's my time to go. Do you know what? I'm not afraid. And she stares into the camera like she's looking at me, and she goes, don't be afraid. It's okay. That's one story I know. I've heard many other stories. And then for all of those that are here that are believers, you have your own personal relationship with Christ. The blessing that he's brought to you and things that he's done. Your own conviction of who he is and what he's done for you. Luke, can I have the scripture? Luke chapter 1, verse 78. A new day will dawn on us from above because our God is loving and merciful. Now, I don't know all your backgrounds today, but I want you to know that God is loving and he is merciful. Merciful, like we don't realize. It's only really come to me this last probably few months of understanding the mercy of God. that God's mercy is Him not giving us what we do deserve. Punishment. You know, we've all sinned. I tried to think back. I was thinking back the other day. When was the first time I sinned? I was going back. How old was I? The only time there's a few things I can remember was when, you know, late at night, mum and dad's in bed. I'm the only one up. I hit the Milo tin. You know, you all did that. Come on, don't just go pointing the finger at me. Either getting into the Milo tin, you know, closing and putting away. And in the morning, my mum would come out. She'd see this little trail of Milo on the counter. Charlie, was that you? Did you? No, mum. No, not me. It's inbuilt in us to sin. It's inbuilt in us. It's in our DNA. And that's why Jesus came to bring us life, to break that DNA so that He comes to bring us forgiveness, and we're forgiven, 100% forgiven. But also forgiveness, but to free us for our future. It brings freedom. This here in front of us, this is the communion table. And this is something that we do this every month. But today we have this so that we can reflect and give thanks for what Jesus Christ has done for us. The juice here represents the blood of Jesus Christ. The bread represents His body. And He says, do this in remembrance of me. Well, what do you mean, do this in remembrance of me? What, do we build a shrine? What do? We remember His benefits. Remember me, remember my benefits. The outcome of today, the outcome of my resurrection, remember forgiveness. Remember, no more shame, no more guilt is available to you. But this is the start of the journey of walking with God. And God says, this doesn't do it justice. But there's more. There's more benefits. There's the peace of God. There's other things. You know, one of the biggest fears in the world is the fear of death. God says, hey, I'll give you my peace. We're all going to die, all of us. That day is coming. But there is resurrection. There is eternity. The kingdom of God is real, and it is forever, and it's throughout eternity. People just think, oh, yeah, you know, I'll live my till 70 or 80. Man, that comes along pretty quick. And then there's other things come knocking. It's like, wow, I'm faced with, you know. I have met many people and I've led many people who have found Christ on their deathbeds. A month, 2 months before they've gone. I've seen the glow on their face. I've heard them talk to me about how they've had a vision and they've seen Jesus. I'm really gladdened by all of that. But, you know, I also am saddened by that because I think, man, what if you came to Christ when you were 15 or 21 or 27 or 40 or 50 or 60? How much more would you have had of experiencing the goodness and the grace of God? God's grace, His unmerited favor towards us. Even though we don't deserve it, He gives us gifts. He gives us things. He blesses us. So when Jesus was on the cross, He was on the cross between Two criminals. One of them mocked him. Hey, you're the Son of God. Why don't you get yourself down from here, you know? And the other guy says, hey, I'm going to give you my language, okay? Hey, have a bit of respect. This guy here has committed no sin. He's done nothing wrong. Us, we're here for a reason. We've done wrong. And he says to Jesus, Jesus, please remember me. And immediately, Jesus says to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. Which camp are we in? Which camp? Which side? Which person do you identify with? Now, you might go, I've done some pretty bad things, Charlie. One quick final story. The woman that people brought out to Jesus who was caught in the act of adultery. Jesus, the law says that we should stone this woman. What do you say? Jesus says, he knew they were trying to trip him up. He says, hey, if you're without sin, you throw the first stone. Go on. Jesus begins to write on the ground. Probably wrote down immorality, adultery, lying, you know. And all these people left because the sin in their own heart convicted them. And what did Jesus say to her? Did he condemn her? Oh, you. No. He said, hey, look, who's condemning you now? Go and sin no more. Go. So today, if you're hearing this message for the first or second or many times, God's mercy is amazing. Easter for me is God's mercy for me personally. Mercy for mankind. Mercy for us all. Imagine if Mr. Putin had an encounter or relationship with God. How good would our world be? And many others, of course. So we are going to take this bread and we're going to drink this juice in remembrance of Jesus Christ. But if today, if you've never acknowledged Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, you can do that right now with me. I'm going to pray. And I want you to pray with me. I'm going to ask the church to pray with me as well. That you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. And let me tell you, he will come in and he will abide in you. He'll give you the strength to live life. But remember, there's more. It's not just knowing Jesus as a Savior. It's having a continual relationship with him. I'd love to give you a Bible. I'd love to encourage you on your way, on your journey with Jesus Christ. This Sunday, you're going to hear the rest of the story of the resurrection morning. Please come. Please come and hear the rest. But for now, we're just going to reflect. And I'm going to, if we can close our eyes, I'm going to ask you, if you'd like to pray this prayer with me, and that is you saying, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to forgive me of my sins. All of my sins, Lord. Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, be gracious to me. Come into my life today. In Jesus' name, amen.